Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. October 24th. I was looking at the wrong calendar. I thought it was going to be like the 27th or 6th or something, but it's the 24th. Been so busy around here, I lost track of time and the month. Anyway, The Death of Ignorance will be coming out again soon. What do you think of that? It's going to be, I believe, $45. It's going to be in a repackaged and retyped set into a setting such as the other two books are, The Inside Track and The Rays of Truth. Anyhow, we've got a nice little show today, so without any further hesitation, we'll listen to Dr. Fred Bell, voice from the past. Okay, Dr. Bell, are you there?
Well, how many of you remember when they were looking at the Great Pyramid, they tried to X-ray it? Remember that? They couldn't get anywhere with it. Because what a pyramid shape does is it takes any kind of microwave and redirects it harmonically. As a matter of fact, it does it with sound. How many of you know what the most expensive sound speakers in the world are called? The pyramid. They're a pyramid shape. They're $10,000 a piece for a little tiny one. And all they are is they work exponentially. In the case of a pyramid speaker, it opens, unravels the sound and releases it in perfect harmony with the, you know, the seven basic notes of music. When you sleep in a pyramid, like in a tent, what happens is you start blocking all the negative energies and you build up this huge power field rather quickly. Most people will tell you when you sleep in a pyramid, they have psychedelic dreams. Very true. Some people will not like sleeping in a pyramid at first. They'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with energy to burn, and they aren't able to go to sleep for an hour or so. They have to walk around and pace a little bit because their body is being detoxed and they're going through a healing crisis. It takes 90 days to reproduce a complete chain of red and white blood cells, and this is typically what you're doing. You're purifying your blood during this time. The importance of the pyramid also is the materials that it's made out of. It must be made out of natural materials, and it must be made of nothing like aluminum or nothing like plastic, or it will aggravate the situation far out of proportion. In Christopher Hill's work, he used to talk about pi rays, negative green, all these kinds of things, positive green. These were his observations lacking terms of recorded incidents of pyramid energies made out of plastic and aluminum on plants and things. I've had 3 children born, home births, in a pyramid, where the mother was conceived and gave birth in the pyramid. And guess what we eliminated almost completely now is labor pains. The last child that I had, the woman had 3 contractions when the child was born. The one before that, when she had one previous to that, she had an hour of contractions, about 15 or 20 of them. Because they teach you that you have to go through this pain of birth. It should be the joy of birth, not the pain of birth. But look at how ridiculous the medical profession has been. Then you see these big devices in the back called irradiators. These are part of the self-help systems that we've developed. And what we do in our seminars is we teach you how to actually have a physical experience with a crystal, to actually feel feedback from another person, another thing, actual physical feeling, not something you make up. It's an actual physical experience that I've learned to show people. And I teach you how to use these devices as self-help systems to educate your own well-being or transmit energy out into the universe. That's why all these strange-looking structures are all around here. They all have a purpose. Also, how many of you have had a quick blast in the ion shower? Okay, I highly recommend that you try that tonight because it will clean your aura and you won't have to wait to know that it's happening. I mean, it's instantaneous. It pulls your ears off, you know. I used to tell people on these things, you know, it's not cocaine. It'll take more than 10 minutes. You know, it seems like the American public wanted a cocaine or an alcohol rush or a tobacco rush for New Age, you know, to feel the past now. Even the most insensitive people are having an experience now with these types of devices because the environment is completely over here. And, you know, we're completely over here with nature. And the other thing that's starting to happen is that the planets, you know, if you look right out in our solar system, Earth has an aura field, right? And the aura field has been tuned in to the growth-resistant vibration, meaning, you know, the guy that gets up drinks the junk food, you know, in the morning, drinks a 7-Up or a beer, goes over and does a line of coke, and he puts his gun in his vest and goes out and blows somebody away for an afternoon of fun, right? You know, a mafia hitman is an example. That energy, you know, it's been around in its most perfect form or its most simple form. You'll find extremes. But that is what our earth is tuned into. You know, the greedy oil millionaire that would just as soon wipe out a whole family of you know, a new city springing up somewhere of farmers or settlers and blast them out with a big concrete parking lot for a supermarket that they don't need. This kind of energy is running our planet. Or the people over at Chrysler that don't want to ionize your cars for you and make you feel good while you drive and maybe not kill yourself or your kids. That's what the earth is tuned into. There's been more energy of those kind of aura fields putting out those kind of thoughts than there has been people like sitting in this room tonight. Okay? This is what's been happening, and you all know that. Now, what happens is, when you look at the earth with this huge aura field generating with all these evil souls, right, the growth-resistant generation, right, Venus sitting over here, which is spinning on its axis opposite of the earth, next planet over, right, 5/8 the mass of the earth, which conforms to the mass of the human female to the male. Venus is getting upset, you know, as a planetary body with the earth. So Venus is now shooting energy into the earth. You know, Jupiter over here is not too happy about it either. And the sun's not really getting off on the earth anymore because it finds its sun rays destroying people rather than healing them. So the planets are starting to, like, gang up now, you know. It's the time for the good guys to play around for 1,000 years. So, when you start playing around with New Age toys, you got the planets behind you, because they like this stuff. Because this, you know, a pyramid never hurt anybody unless you hit them over the head with it, you know. And rarely does that happen. It doesn't happen that much. You feel too good to throw objects at your friends anymore, you know. Gone are the days of the rock fight. I know I still got a scar right here from one I had when I was a kid, you know. Throwing rocks at this kid, and he was throwing them back, and I was laughing because he couldn't hit me, and the next one hit me, you know, perfectly. I had to go to the hospital and get a couple stitches. Times are changing, okay? We're going into some new age stuff. And so, in our seminar, we'll cover all of these things. We'll take you through the mechanics. Like, if you think we talked about something tonight, we didn't show you nothing. And one of the most fun things I like to show is how interstellar spaceships work. So what I did is I brought a picture, a videotape, of a Pleiadian beam ship materializing and dematerializing. And what we will do is I will teach you how that ship works, and you will know, because one thing that you'll see when it materializes over the countryside, it lights up the countryside, and then it jumps in the picture. And this particular videotape, part of it was analyzed, was taken by Billy Meyer, it was on a 35mm, in Switzerland, some of it, and they took it to Japan and they analyzed it and they found out it was true and authentic. And they even took the frames apart, analyzed them to less than 1/120th of a second, and 70,000 people in Japan saw this. And it talks all about that. I brought some really interesting photographs too, which I want to share with you, because there's a lot to cover, and we got a short time to cover it, just a couple days, and then you guys will go out and do your own seminars after that. So, you know, that's what it's all about. Any questions? Yeah. August the 16th is a point in time. It's like a mark. It's like when the sun sets. At the moment, if you're standing on a hill, if the sun sets, just on the horizon, what you'll see is a green flash. Okay, how many of you have ever seen that? Okay, it's that moment. But instead of the sunset occurring just momentarily, it's going to occur almost all the time. Harmonic convergence is a time when souls that have got half a chance in this lifetime to remake it on into the great changes of the 90s and the later 80s, it's that time when you're going to be given your best shot. It's the time is now. It's the time when a few years ago when you were exposed to this, you could say, I'll back off and see if the Joneses do it, and if it works out for them, I'll get on the bandwagon, okay? during the August period of this year, it's your last chance. Not that you're going to be damned into hell. You have made your choice. You can go right on living your existence and see if it fades or it gleams. Because during that time, the conflict, you're not going to see the earth rocking and rolling and earthquakes and floods and fires. That's a waste of time. It never works. It's going on inside your head now. But I guarantee you one thing, if you're on the new age and in the work, you'll see it going on in other people's heads and you'll have enough sense to get out of their way. There's one thing you got to know, is right now is the time to help yourselves. Because you're not worth a damn to the next person until you help yourselves first. When you help yourselves first, you become a knower. And as a knower, then you lend assistance. And now is the time to make that switch from being a believer to a knower. We're all going to be free. It's going to come easy if you let it. It's going to come hard if you fight it. So it's up to you. Yeah.
I know someone who's having a baby due on August 17th.
Well, there's another thing about the harmonic convergence. It's called, you know, the tribulation time and the great white throne judgment day in the Bible. One thing that happens, esoterically speaking, is the earth receives light from within in a trine. For a long time, Earth and Venus and Mars were a trine, bringing power in, like a pyramid, like a triangle. Venus is removing itself from this trine because its energies are manifesting in the female, and Jupiter, which is power, is taking its place. So the influence of Venus, this is a symbol. In 79, I put that on the book. That's an upside-down pyramid, right? That is the sign of the change of the 16th. That is the sign. You know, upside-down pyramid. Been around us forever. We're so used to the right-side-up one. All right? I'll show you something. That pyramid. Somebody bring me a pyramid up from the back real quick. I'll show you a real quick thing here. Now I need a muscle test person here. Take them up. Okay. Now turn around. Now put your arm out. Okay. Now resist. Okay. Now put the pyramid on here. Now, it won't hurt you. Now resist. Stronger. Okay, now put your arm back out. Now resist. What happened?
I turned left.
Okay, let's try again. Strength. Okay. There it is. Okay, now sit down. Now, why? What happened there? You didn't see that. I put the pyramid upside down. That's the new energy. I just switched it over. That's the female aspect of it. If you're not ready, I didn't make her weak. It was just too much. It overwhelmed her. That's why those structures back there have a curve, you know? Partially there. That's why when this thing is worn, it has a curve in it to compensate for that. You know, if you take a pyramid that has an energy going out like this, it's positive, and you take a pyramid that's upside down with a negative energy, and you arc it, you end up producing a negative-positive, which is called a scalar wave, okay? Soft electron field. Now, we can go into nature and check that out real quick. We can look at it, you know, make this red, okay? Make this red, right? Who's this? Anybody remember? Black Widow, right? She makes love to her boyfriend and kills him, right? This is August 16th. All right, that's the truth. You bet. And here's August 17th. All right, you get that symbology. You can play it any way you want. It's the same. Yeah. The Pleiadians are where the cycles come from, you know, for 26,827.5-year cycles. And there are different, there's the Hopi tribes, there's different American Indian tribes that have a 52-year, I would say, bring it all the way down, sub-cycle, where they blow out a flame and they relight a new flame every 52 years. August 16th happens to be a time when in many tribes worldwide, the candle is put out and a new flame is lit on that exact date. It was the dates were derived at by many different calendars, because when you go to the calendars that relate to the precession of the equinox, it's very easy to figure out dates and times to the day. Now, you've got to look at what we're coming from. We're coming from the Piscean Age. Now, we've been running around for a long time saying this is Aquarian Age. It is the Aquarian Age. But the Indian traditions acknowledge from their folklore the Aquarian Age on August the 16th. That's where it comes from. Okay, it's the acknowledgement by the Indians. But the Indians also acknowledge the Pleiadians, as do a lot of non-Indian people at this point in time. Nothing that I had anything to do with. It's just, yeah. I've heard of them. I'm not real familiar with them. Light force? Life force? Yeah, I've heard of life force. I mean, you know, Christopher Hills, the Spirulina program? Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Right. Well, Christopher Hills, a friend of mine, I've spoken to him many times. It's the Spirulina program. Spirulina is a food of the sea. It's not a bad food. It's a whole food. I don't believe in going into a macrobiotic diet, you know, diet as a result of taking a lot of spirulina, because if you don't have a certain amount of yang energy, you get blown away, basically blown away. Being that it's multi-level, I think about it as about what I think about most multi-levels. I don't think a whole lot of multi-level. If it's working, fine. If not, fine. I've seen light force go through its changes and grow. Yes. That, during that time, it's like I was explaining about that trine. What happens is, on a soul level, souls used to, you know how the astral plane is formed? The interaction between two beings on a physical plane, okay, creates an emotional confrontation which animates a particular arena, in this case, inner space. And when you leave your body, you automatically go to that inner space. And religions knew about that space because you can contact it, you can evidence it, you can play with it, you can demonstrate it to certain kinds of, in certain kinds of audiences, in certain kinds of conditions. And so to get power, the powers of religion, the worlds of religions united to form heavens in these spaces called the astral plane. And for a long time, you could, go to confession and get saved, and do that enough times and then get prayed on over if you were bad, in the Catholic religion, so that your soul is happily being babysitted by others, maybe parts of your family, your relatives or whatever, that receive you when you go across on the astral plane. And for a long time, all these people that were wrongdoers, and I'm not talking about wrongdoing yourself, you can do anything yourself you want. God has given us, as ourselves being God, freedom. But when you interfere with another god, you create war in heaven and war on earth. So as a result of that, for a long time, even though you were bad, or disharmonious, you got babysitted for a while on the astral plane and put into maybe 700-800 years of bliss, play any game you want. It's like when Yogananda materialized Babaji materialized a castle one night for Lahiri Lahasya, to teach him about the pleasures of life and work off some pleasurable karma. Those days aren't happening now. What happens now is when you leave the physical plane, and you can even see it in the teenage suicide statistics, you go over there and you become a witness now. So what happens is the rug's been pulled off of that, and during that time of transition from a few months from now or a month from now on into the early part of the year 2000, all of the souls are being pulled off to observe changes here on Earth. And because this is such a, you know, grand change in the universe, it affects other civilizations, other galaxies, other life forms. Because this is a spiritual change, not only here on Earth, but all the way across anything to do between here and the center of our universe, which is the Pleiades. So obviously, there is concern by other civilizations for this change to take place. After the year 2000, these souls will be re-entering the Earth spheres where they left, and they won't be barred from it. They'll be re-entered. But now they'll have a grand appreciation of life here, and they won't interfere with their stupid wars and their stupid manipulations, because they'll have a memory, a continuity of consciousness. And I know about that continuity of consciousness because I remember my last lifetime perfectly, as much as you could possibly remember a lifetime. I remember it. I talk about it in my seminar, and it's interesting. And I guarantee you, when I finish the seminar, you'll know that I knew who I was in my last lifetime. Yeah. Sure. She's asking if there's a reason why she's here. All of us. Yeah. Yeah. You know, first of all, you can ask yourself, what's better than a good feeling, right? Then, what is the most powerful unit of energy? Family unit, right? And isn't it great to be a family unit? Don't you desire to maintain that bond? What better reason could anyone ever have? And I'm not talking about biological family. I'm talking about the solicitations for my family and our family that went out before I got here, and the unification of the family as it is tonight. And tomorrow we'll find out who the title ranks of the family are, and we'll start sharing the secrets of why we're here. You're asking questions. You're blowing my whole seminar out of the water here if you're not careful. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I would just open myself up to what's going to happen and say it's going to be wonderful. It's a great time to have a meditation like Vinayak introduced tonight. Keep it going until then anyway. If it's too much for you, then after that, drop out. But hold it until then, you know. Just behave until August 16th. Then get bad again. Yeah.
Alexander Graham Bell was your...
He's my great uncle. He's my great... I think it was my grandfather's... great-grandfather's brother. You want to know? Yeah. I'll put another twist in the pot. My father bought the London Bridge over. He was another shaker and mover.
Where did he live?
Alexander Graham Bell lived in Scotland until he got involved in the aerospace industry over here, and he moved over here. Oh, it's, our family is crazy. That's a long story. Yeah, go ahead. Right. Well, look at Shirley MacLaine. I mean, she's going crazy over it, you know. Yeah, they visit females and males. There's been a lot of contacts with females now. It's because, you know, she was asked a long time ago. She never had direct contact with Sannyasi. Sannyasi asked Billy Meyer, and I got a photograph in my briefcase there of her and Billy Meyer together. Billy Meyer asked her for Sannyasi to do what she was doing, because she was instrumental in moving a lot of people. You know, she freaked out. I mean, she was a basket case for a long time, and she finally, you know, got it together to start doing what she's doing now. Yeah, there's a question here.
Well, that kind of quick deal there, and let's flip this tape, see what happens.
So you never asked me about it.
Oh, there it goes. There it's going again. I thought it quit.
Well, you know, yeah, she wants to know about why I'm not addressing the overpopulation problem as she sees it. on this world. Too many souls, 8 billion being too many. And that's a problem. And what do I think of that? It's real simple, you know. And oh, the answer to that was nobody asked me the question, so I didn't address it. But the answer, in my mind, would be that when you see the extreme friction that will happen when the other planets gang up on the Earth as they are, and the extreme strength that the New Age people are going to exhibit, as they will and starting to, the conflict's going to grind up a good portion of the populace. And the ones that do remain are going to be producers, because that's all this planet can handle. There will be AIDS, just 1,000 Americans a day are contacting AIDS. That's just warming up. Wait till you see what comes after AIDS. I mean, you don't even want to know about the next stuff, you know. Believe me, the universe will balance itself. The problem is not population at this point in time, because our technology will remove a part of the population if it's totally positive to other worlds, if it's necessary. This world can easily, you know, handle far greater numbers of souls than we have now, but we have to distribute the wealth. The distribution of wealth is a greater problem, you know. It's not having money that hurts, it's not having it that hurts. You've got to kind of look at it that way. And you've got to bring yourself out of a non-poverty state, meaning that you're being not provided for, to a state where we're being over-provided for, and into a point of sharing. And then the earth will balance itself. Everybody's going to be a millionaire. Everybody's going to be wealthy. We already are. You just have to realize it. Yeah. A lot. Yeah. They've given me... Brad Steiger was so intrigued by the transcripts that I gave him, he wrote a book about it. It's called The Promise. And we're taking advanced orders for it now. I don't know. Are you familiar with who he is? He's a good writer. Okay. He wrote a book about it. It's full of it. We did a major motion picture. I've sold a manuscript in my life to a major producer, but it hasn't been produced yet. That information is coming. It's not what my seminar is really about, but the seminar is about how it applies to you, what your relationship with the Pleiades, not mine. Okay, I will answer questions about that, but I think you guys should be more concerned with yourselves than me right now. I can only share my experiences, and I've had a few, and they're real. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, I have tapes out. I have one series of tapes out that teaches you how to become a contactee, if that's what you're supposed to do. And in the process of becoming a contactee, if you're not supposed to, you'll know that too. Yeah. What can you say about more device?
With the vitamins?
Oh, the stone. I'm not familiar with it. There are certain stones that I am very familiar with. There are certain stones that I'm not. I'm very familiar with the mineral kingdom, and I'm very familiar with quartz, because I got into quartz. It's one of the most important. You know, first of all, how many of you know what the Akashic records are? Okay? And where is the physical storehouse of the Akashic records? Quartz, exactly, right here. That's why it grows. That's why this piece, as I carry it around, gets clearer. And it grows. It grows a tenth of a percent, or 1% of its weight for 10 years, because there's consciousness here. And what it does is it induces a field, just like I showed you in the dreams, into my brain. And so subconsciously my brain will fire at higher and higher rates and more inner rates all the time. I'm constantly learning from it. Realize that if we handled disposal here properly on this earth of humans, the ones that were diseased and plagued, cremated, and the ones that lived a perfect life put back into the earth, the minerals in the earth are what you're going to end up absorbing back into your diets and your consciousness. And minerals grow. Consciousness grows. Everything is having experience right now, whether it be these plants, this handkerchief, or this stone. It doesn't matter. Everything is growing. Quartz represents a perfect bridgehead of that growth. So I got involved with quartz to save it in Arkansas, because I knew what the Atlanteans had done with it, combined with pyramids. So I was put down there by spirit to learn the value of it. I grew up with it, and I, as a result, began to get into a position of power where I can help control it now. You know, and one thing we did do is what goes in the semiconductor, we don't crush up the gemstone stuff anymore. We just put them. We have a way of purifying the rocky old white stuff. You know, the bad stuff. As a matter of fact, we'll have a videotape available that we'll be taking orders on very soon. That's the entire story of quartz. We just got it finished. and it shows you how it's used, where it comes from, how it was formed 500 million years ago, how it's used today, where what's museum grade, what isn't, how it's crushed, where that goes, and all of the shows the difference between Brazilian, Arkansas, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Yep. Courts. Yep. Record keepers. All of them. Access. Yeah. Freedom. The reason is freedom. For every black, you'll have white. For every positive, you'll have a negative.
So we have to have that in order to know that. We have to know that experience.
We have to know the experience to gain appreciation. When you become God, when everybody inside of here is inside your body as a cell, you'll know what I'm talking about. Because you'll be the only one left in existence. And each time you take a breath, you'll fade and ebb in existence. And so when you learn those kinds of things, it's so wonderful to be amongst people learning the lessons over and over again. Yeah.
I'll turn this over here and go to the other side. Time is just flying by with all of this. I think there's more on this side here. If not, we got the next seminar ready, lined up and go. Let's see what we got here. If there's anything else, if not, we got another one ready to fly. I don't hear anything, but Dr. Bell is always a little bit slow.
Anyhow, get back on the subject.
There he is.
So what we have to do is we have to have vasopressin in our bodies to feel euphoric for ionizers.
What do you know of the aspartame atoms apparently from high school between the quadruple negative and the predominantly are Kadamasa and Sulfur?
Yeah.
And also, where are they from? And they also had a project called evacuation.
Yeah, I know about the evacuation projects. But the Pleiadians, being the most powerful command group, you know, we'll hold things in tow. And you'll see, if you look at Nostradamus' predictions, I should have brought, there's a book that was called Astratus. It was produced in England. It had some beautiful photographs of the predictions. But what I want to do now is not center on that. I'm going to turn this back over to Vinayak. Are you about ready to take back over here? And the rest of the questions, we didn't even scratch the surface. I can see that you guys have been saturated a little bit. I recommend those of you that are coming to the seminar tomorrow get a lot of sleep and really drink a lot of water, because you're going to get, tonight was nothing, okay? So I want to turn this back over to Vinayak, and I want to thank you very much.
Thank you. I've got, you know, several years of it here.
Everybody still breathing? Good. We do have room for people in the seminar if you'd like to enroll. The table in the back corner is set up for registration purposes. We also invite you to stick around and experience the equipment that's in the back of the room, particularly the ion shower if you haven't had that experience. You might want to lie down underneath one of the pyramids and just experience that energy. Try to put one of the pyramids, or not try, but put one of the pyramids on top of your head and just center in for a moment and feel what that's like. Try the receptors and put them on your body and feel what that's like. And thank you for coming. Question? Okay, thank you. So I invite you to go in towards the back of the room and have the experience. Thank you for coming.
Is this now, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. It's fun to do that when you hold these crystals. Yeah. Back it.
I think we're moving around here a little bit on the tape.
Did I get plenty of sleep last night?
Yeah.
Took my advice, huh? And you.
Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to switch this one out for this other one and finish up with this other one. This is better tape.
Autonomic, which does what? Causes your heart to breathe, things you don't think about, you know, your heart to beat and your lungs to breathe, your diaphragm to move, okay? Sympathetic nervous system with mid-range minerals, digestion, appetite, pleasure, pain, okay? Hot, cold feeling. And the parasympathetic, which is, believe it or not, from the top of it's right here on the earlobe. I always wonder when people put those earrings in, what they're doing to the parasympathetic nervous system. And so what happens is that's your psychic area, your 10th cranial nerve in your body. So you got three different frequencies, complete different octaves right here. Okay? So now, this electricity moving at 200 and some miles an hour down through your body. Okay? Now, in a normal person, if I were to look at these signals going through, these are called the nerve itself is called axons, and what's on the outside of it is called a myelin sheath. And going along this wire, okay, are nodes of Renier. They're called nodes of Renier, okay? There's thousands of them in one nerve, okay? Very, very important to have those, but 99% of the people in the world don't use them, okay? Now, what happens if you don't use the nodes of Renier? Several things, okay? First of all, how many of you in here would know what the word conductivity means? Okay? Somebody explain it who knows what it is. Huh? Amount of resistance to current, right? In other words, I'm going to ask anybody, if I had a piece of lead, a lead wire here, okay, and I put electricity through it, would the electricity go right through it, or would it go slow through it?
Maxwell, it goes around on the outside.
Well, yeah, what would the resistance? If I put an ohmmeter across it, I'd read a high resistance, right? A lead wire. Whereas if I had a wire that's made out of gold or platinum, electricity would go through it instantly with no resistance. And so if I had 10 volts up here with a lead wire, I might get 1 volt down here. Whereas if this is platinum, I guarantee you, if I got 10 volts here, I got 10 volts here. There's no loss. Okay? No loss. No. In other words, the electrolytes in the brain send signals out to the body. Now, where do they send them? To the eyes, to the ears, to the nose, to the digestive organs. That's where they go. And so if I got lead wires going to my eyes, what's my frequency response going to be optically? I'm not going to see a spaceship. I'm probably going to almost walk into this thing, right? That's most of the people in the world. They can't see them. They're brain dead, okay? If my ears have the lead wires going to them, I'm not going to hear really pretty music. I might hear a rock fall when it hits my foot, but I mean, beyond that, I'm not going to hear much. That's most of the people in the world, okay? Because the conductivity is shot in their system. So, what we have to do is we have to turn on these nodes of Renier. That's done by vibration. So the human body is not just a battery and a switch sending out electrical signals. The human body is a battery and a switch and a very delicate nervous system that likes to be orchestrated. It likes to have the right frequency. Okay? An example of that is if you just got in a car wreck, okay, and you went home and you're trying to compose a musical tune, I'd say that evening after the car wreck, your composition isn't going to be worth a damn. You follow me? Whereas if you've been on a mountain all day long and come down meditating, your music might be phenomenal. Okay, but that's what you have to have in consideration to get these things synchronizing. So devices like the nuclear receptor and a lot of other things I haven't even showed you yet bring these nodes of Renier and the perfect synchronization, and also these pyramids, yeah. Yeah.
I noticed if I put on my nuclear receptor, which I forgot to bring today.
Oh, yeah. So you need one for memory.
I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah.
It magnifies.
Oh, yeah.
Bad mood.
Yeah. What'd you get? A diamond or a ruby or?
Amethyst.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it'll amplify it. You need to get a green one, an emerald, to calm it down a little bit. Yeah, it'll amplify if it's not. You put the diamond on, and you'll short circuit if you're not careful with it, you know? So these are in here, those of Renier. So, now the next thing is, anytime you move electricity through a medium, you'll have magnetism at right angles, okay? So you got electricity moving through three different mediums here, magnetism at right angles, so you have an electronic aura field, okay? Now, in our technology, what all the Pleiadian science is about, primarily, we're dealing with the result of the outcome of the aura. We had to choose something, and the aura is the best place to get the end result. Okay? If we're making contact, for example, or teaching somebody how to become a contactee, first thing we do is get the aura balanced, focused, and then projected. And the balance part is most important because if you project something, you're going to get a return on it. If you're not balanced, you're not going to be able to interpret what the return is. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. And when you do that, you go into the science of DNA because you have to go into the lowest component and the simplest component. And then when you get into ELF and the effects of radiation, you also have to take in consideration where the auric frequencies are at any point in time. Yeah.
Is the what you call electricity?
Yeah.
Does it flow analog, digital, or digital?
Well, you know what the difference is? If I told you the answer, would you know the difference?
Well, I know the difference between analog and digital. Because I think that maybe a lot of the pollution that we get through is digital. And if we're analog, we're picking up a lot of the dysfunctional radiation.
Yeah, let me show everybody else so we don't get lost here. An analog, if I look at a wire and I have an oscilloscope, the oscilloscope measures time and measures voltage. And it makes a beam that sweeps. So if I've got a voltage there, if I've got a voltage, I put the voltmeter on, it jumps up. I can't see that, so I need to move that jump across like that. So I go, and I can see my signal now. That becomes information, analog or digital information on a screen. That's what an oscilloscope is. If I were to look at an analog signal, I'd have a ramp that went up, came down, maybe went on or went down like that. In this case, it would be a sawtooth wave. I'm looking at a sloping ramp, and my information is being moved. If that was my brain, my brain was energizing slowly, I might be putting a feeling into my foot. That would be analog. Digital, and so my intelligence is gathered by the slope and the length of this ramp. That's my intelligence, okay? That's analog. Digital is not like that. Digital is a pulse. You could say that the pulse itself is an analog, but we're not caring about that. In digital, we're measuring the pulses. You know, all we care about is how many of these things are, bits and zeros, okay? Whether that be music, whether it is. So that's what we're just looking at, the repetition rate, primarily. And of course, in digital, you want a quick rise to quick fall time, so it doesn't appear to be analog, just so you understand that. Okay. Body's both. When you're analog, you know, your heart, well, actually the heart could be almost digital, okay? Strangely enough, digitalis is an herb that they use. The heart, you know. Now, let me just show you how the system tries to destroy you. This is through your heart, okay? This is something a lot of people don't understand. If you have a natural vitamin, okay, this is growing photography now. We have a natural vitamin here. We put it on the aura. Well, when we say a vitamin, back over here is a unit of biochemistry possessing light frequencies, right? So a vitamin is going to emanate colored frequencies, which, going into our body, you know, what is this signal here all about? Frequencies. So how can this know whether to get up and walk, whether to hear, whether to drink, to see something blue or see something green? It's frequency. It's intelligence. Intelligence is coming from the mineral kingdom. And the frequency of the intelligence, the interpretation power of it, is coming from the damn vitamin. In other words, intelligence tells us that there's something going on. This tells us it's green. Okay? That's what the vitamin does. If you don't get color in from the higher planes, how the hell can you interpret? You have no reference point. Okay? It's all reference. So now I put a synthetic vitamin next to it on the Corellian camera, right? Now, guess what? When I put a synthetic vitamin on there, do I see any aura around it? I see nothing. Nothing. Not a damn thing. It's chemically, it's the same, but why isn't anything coming? Because it didn't come from a natural source. A plant, for example. That's where vitamins come from. So now what happens if I leave them overnight? If I leave them overnight, what happens is this here will be 50% of what it was, and this will now have an aura on it. Okay? This will now have an aura on it. So this right here has absorbed 50% of that. Now, chances are, if I put a natural vitamin in my body, like the kinds I use in my formulas, which are spray-dried, you wouldn't have to go to the bathroom if you were just taking my vitamins. There'd be no need for it. You have total assimilation. But if I gave you a bunch of vitamin C pills that were synthetic, you'd have a bowel movement afterwards. because of all the binders and fillers and unnatural things in there. So what happens is, if you have a natural or a synthetic vitamin in your body, you put the synthetic in there with the natural, it's going to steal the nutrition, and then it's going to come out through a bowel movement. So it's going to not only take the energy out of your body, it's going to throw it out of your body permanently. Okay? Do you know how hard the FDA is trying to make vitamins illegal in this country? How in the truth and labeling law they tried to mask, you know, the statement about, you know, vitamins, what they are, how they take them away, so that the pharmacies can make synthetic vitamins, and then the doctor writes a prescription and you get a synthetic vitamin, part of the Hay Kissinger depopulation policy to kill you. Okay? That's a fact. I formulate, and this isn't just our FDA, okay? I formulate for Japan, I formulate for Germany, and I have to deal with FDAs all over the place. And if you take, like for example, if in the United States I can use, we had to fight for nitrilocide, B12 through B17. I put B15 in my vitamins. My bottles of vitamins on my stand down there have B15 in them. Are they on the label? Nope. Why not? Because they're illegal. But I put them in there anywhere. Bust me. You know, I don't care. Why do I put B15 in there? Okay? I put B15 in there because Ernest Krebs, my friend who discovered it, senior, went to Russia before he passed on and gave it to all the Russians that had bad hearts, and nobody could get a heart attack. It was impossible. There's too much oxygen going to the heart. So naturally they don't want nitrilocides in your... And you don't get cancer. B12 through B17, anti-carcinogenic, you know? So you're eating your lunch meat and having those nitrites in it, and you're taking your nitrilocides. You can enjoy that junky lunch meat if you want, you know? They're going to hurt you, yeah.
What's the general chemical composition of these B vitamins? I mean, are they just hydrocarbons, or do they have mineral elements?
They have mineral elements. They're full spectrum, yeah. Now, if let's say I'm formulating... Now, I know Fotai and ginseng go to cola. I had to fight to put ginseng out. I legally can put ginseng in my products. As a matter of fact, New Visions, the big, giant multi-level out there that Chris Van Overen formulated for with me, they're using a lot of my tricks in their stuff. So if I went to Japan, I can formulate for Japanese Fotai and ginseng gotu-kola, okay? If I go to Japan and I tell you guys here, I say, okay, chromium picolinate, if you start to get sick, don't put vitamin C in your body, put chromium picolinate. If I put chromium picolinate in Japan, they won't put it on the shelves over there. What do you think of that? They'll let you have Fotai and ginseng, but their FDA says no chromium picolinate. If I go down to Singapore and do vitamin C, 56.5 milligrams is the biggest pill I can do. Your body holds 5 grams. If I go to Europe, no chromium picolinate, no Fotai, no ginseng, no gotu-kola in Europe. Okay? So each one of these FDAs is taking away from you something that's very vital, proven by the other. You know, when we got into germ warfare and we got into the Agent Orange, you know, and Agent Orange, they were using our troops in Vietnam as experiments, right? You know, and then they came over here with methylene and started spraying all the crops, I mean the people with it, for flies, bed flies and that. You know, that is to keep people sterile from reproducing. That's their way of doing that, you know. It was Japanese research that proved that made you sterile, yeah.
What's this crap they're spraying?
Methionine, probably, isn't it?
I don't know.
They tell you to put a cover over your car and stuff at night?
No.
Takes the paint off of it. Yeah.
They're spraying something.
Oh, they spray all the time.
And it's something they got from China, I found out.
Yeah, well, okay, here we go. Do you ever see evergreen? Evergreen. Do you ever see it on the news, the airplanes? Evergreen. You know, the airplanes fly evergreen?
Yeah, so,
you bet. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, Steven Seagal's new movie, man, he busts them. You know, every one of his movies, he's busting evergreen. I was down there one time at the Naval Shipyard in Long Beach, or the port of entry down there, counting the evergreen containers, wondering how many of them had cocaine in them, you know. I had my camera down there. They got men in black on those docks down there. Bad news, you know. Oh, I know. Yeah, that's evergreen. And they were, you know, when they, in the black helicopters that do the spraying on people, they're owned by evergreen. Those black ones. Typically the ones at Area 51, they're owned by evergreen. Okay, continuing on here now. Okay, this is recent. This is when you take a Polaroid camera out. I take a Polaroid camera out to this hill, you know, sitting here in one of my Corvettes. Here's the sun shining on it over here. And I don't have a Polaroid this day. And Liara is the one that, the Andromeda content, she says, take a picture now. Get your camera out. We're going to show you something with a Polaroid camera. And I says, okay. So I pull out the Polaroid. And immediately, here comes the ship. Right here is an Andromedan ship. You see them at sunset a lot of times. Sun is still over here. In the next shot, it comes down in front. Here's the sun reflecting over here on the steering wheel. See all this? There's an Andromedan ship, broad daylight, with a Polaroid camera fully lit up. Now, a Polaroid doesn't get the resolution that you want to get, but that you can see right alongside the sun. The sun's a little brighter. These guys do a lot with the sun, the Andromedans do. They do a lot with on our planet called divine intervention, you know. If extraterrestrials are going to do some help here, these are the guys that do it. And they've already done some amazing things. And that's in the very beginning of my book. Remember I was talking about this? It's Time Magazine. Okay? As we move around the Pleiades, our atoms, our atomic structure, is starting to light up now. Okay? So if our atomic structure starts to light up and accelerate, what happens is when we come around, going around the sun, I mean the central spiritual sun every 25,000 years, our consciousness starts to turn to light as we start to perceive stuff. So obviously we see, you know, same time we're going to see, you know, weirdness is on the rise, right? Because shit sees shit, right? Light sees light, you know? Ignorance is unique in the fact that it doesn't recognize itself. That was almost the front page of the Los Angeles Times in 1994. Then you get into the Global 2000 report and how they're trying to take 1 billion people off the planet. This is some of the stuff, how it comes out through the CIA and the secret government, the NSC. It just slips out like that, you know. Guarantee it, it's for real. Okay, I'm in the wrong way now. Then we have the little areas like Ebola. You know, I've got the book back there in my thing, but Ebola is a very bad form of bacteria. Symptoms are you come down with a fever day one, okay? Day two, migraine headaches like you can't imagine, to the point you can't even sit up anymore. Very high fever starting. Day three, starting to get a lot of mucus secretions in your stool. Day four, mucus turns to blood, eyes start bleeding. Day five, you're dead. Because what Ebola does is it makes the blood so thin, it runs right through your body, falls out of the veins. Man-made. Now, how did this start? How did this start? Ebola started in Zaire, South Africa. And there was a place down there run by Belgian nuns. There was two ministers and six nuns. And what they did is they had a little church they lived in with a dormitory in it and a little tent outside that took care of the natives. They had about seven or eight tribes, local tribes, that get malaria, dysentery, all the, you know, usual stuff and bad sanitation that natives get running around the bush out there and not eating properly. So they had their regular clientele with their regular problems. Well, in July of 1976, one day, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, two people came in with about half the symptoms that I just described to you in their infirmary. They didn't even know where they came from. They didn't belong around there. They weren't even natives. They were more Caucasian. They stayed there for 3 days. They started to treat them for malaria because the way Ebola works, it's very similar to malaria at the first stages. And on the third day, these guys were gone. They didn't even know how they left. Somebody put these people there, two people. It's in the book back there. And they left, written by a medical doctor. I'll show it to you at the end here. I don't know who wrote it. I've got it there. Not sure. I don't think so. I think this is another one. This is an earlier book. What happened was these were planted, these individuals, in the same little camp in October. So July, August, September, October, the end of October, the end of the third month, four of the nuns were dead, one of the ministers was dead, and 1,000 people all in the area were all dead, starting right there in that little hospital. And then the whole world suddenly knew about it. Okay? Not something that comes from the rainforest. Hell, our minerals come from the rainforest.
Okay, well, that's the end of it for today. We'll continue on next week. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you. Bye.